Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 7, Continuing the 9-Year Change. The astral body is of the nature of air, and therefore it is intimately connected with our process of breathing. It's not surprising, then, that between the middle of third grade and the end of fourth grade, the relationship of the child's inner rhythmic system changes profoundly, the relationship particularly of the breathing to the heartbeat, so that whereas a newborn or a young child has a very rapid heartbeat relative to the rhythm of breathing, by third to fourth grade, the heartbeat slows down and the 4-to-1 ratio of heartbeat to breath now becomes more like that of the adult. So a great maturation is going on at this time, and the presence of the astral body, the interplay of the astral body and the etheric body, and we hope under the tutelage of the teacher and with the help of the parents, this is all harmonized as well. So as I've said, it's not a question of saying, let's get rid of that astral body and its catabolic destructive forces and all of the difficulties that it wreaks when it comes into a child's life. It's rather a question of finding the way in which we can bring balance, always the task of a Waldorf teacher. So let's look now at what this breathing of this higher body in and out entails. First of all, it means that the 9-year change is not going to be the same from month to month, even from day to day sometimes. A child brings in their astral forces for a period of time, and suddenly they act as though they're older. Something of adolescence, even of young adulthood, may manifest within them. Then the astral body is breathed out, and we might say it's even given a special push out by the etheric forces, which have a lot to do with the younger child, and suddenly at that moment the child seems younger. You really have to search for the 9-year-old, because so often 9-year-olds are acting like they're 12 or 14, or they're acting like they're 4 or 5. And I can give you a little scenario of this. This is, of course, an exaggeration, a composite, but not entirely far off the mark in terms of what a parent may experience with her child at this age. So let's say the child has just said, arguing with the parents, I want my own room. I want to have my own iPod. I want to have my own phone. I want this. I want that. I want my own space, in a way, is what they're calling for. The astral body is very territorial. So are animals, which have an astral body. It wants that breathing space that it feels it needs. So the child brings this out in terms of contemporary culture, which is, I want stuff, and I want to be able to jump ahead and have my own stuff, like my older sister does. And then an argument ensues. Parents have to be very careful about this. Yes, it's good to let the child vent. Also good practice for dealing with your adolescent. It's also important to bring that venting to an end as well, that the child must know the parent is still in charge. The parent still has the final authority. So let's say this mother is wise enough to do that, and she says, all right, I've heard enough of this. Up to your room. Going to have some time out, and I'll tell you when you can return to us. So the child goes up to her room. She's crying. She's upset. And what does she do? She opens her closet and she takes out one of her American Girl dolls, a doll that perhaps she put aside as the things of a child 2 or maybe even 3 years ago. And now that doll comes out, and she begins to talk to it, and carries on with it as though, once again, she's 4 or 5. Mommy is so mean, and she thinks I'm not grown up, and let's sit together. You want to have some tea? And out comes the little tea set, and so our putative accelerated adolescent and her doll sit down and have a little tea party, and she feels much better. And then her mother tells her that a friend has shown up, a classmate, and wants to know if they can have some time together. And the mother says, if you're calm down now, she can come up to your room and you can have an hour together. So the friend comes up, and the friend says, why are you in your room? Oh, man, my mommy is such a drag, you know? It's like I'm trying to talk to her, and she just won't let me go on. Yeah, I know, says the friend. My parents are weird. They're so Steinerized. Yeah, I know. Of course, meanwhile, the doll's been thrown in the closet, and the closet has been shut, lest her friend might realize that just a few minutes ago, she was about 8 years younger. So here we go, this alternation, this breathing, this swinging, very astral in nature, between being all grown up with nowhere to go and going back to the comfort, the security of the etheric-dominated world of early childhood. Now, this drives parents up the wall, but look, you can warn them this is going to happen in your first parent evening, or if you have a sort of preliminary third grade workshop in September, which I urge you to do, and I'll be speaking more about this in the segments on working with parents. Let the parents know what to expect, and that rapid or slow alternation between the child being very young and the child being all grown up is something to expect. It's healthy. It gives the astral body a chance to flex its muscles, and it also gives the child a sense of how difficult it's going to be to handle an astral body once it's come to stay. And it gives the parents a good workout. We get to see what we will be like when the child is that age. Will we revert to our adolescence, or will we be able to move forward? Something else that you can predict that many children experience, can tell this to parents. However, and this is key, not all children will talk to their parents about these experiences. And the reason is that children can sense if the parents are such rational beings that they're not going to want to hear from the child that he or she is having what is, for all practical purposes, a spiritual experience. Because the 9-year change altogether, though it has great ramifications in the child's physical life, etheric life, it is also, above all, an experience of soul and spirit. And some children know their parents don't want to hear it. Some children know their parents don't want to hear it, but they can sense that you're open to hearing it. So they may share this sort of thing with you, and other children are just going to hold it in. But the Waldorf curriculum for this grade and for grade 4 actually helps the child open up to realizing that they are not alone in having such experiences. So this is the experience. I don't mean to build it up too profoundly. That a child will, upon falling asleep, have a sense that part of him is separating from his physical body. Now, this can happen in many different ways, but something more than one child has described to me is they floated out of their body and they were above it, or a couple of children have said, I was on the ceiling and my body was looking down there. Now, it's interesting, in grade 4 in geography, you're going to ask them to do this in a virtual way when they have to make a map of their room. They have to imagine they're looking at it from the ceiling or from the roof of their house down. So interesting how this is actually woven into the curriculum. So they see themselves down there, and that's very disturbing, or to use a word more commonly used by third graders, it's scary to think you're in two places at once. Some children also say they feel dizzy when they're falling asleep, that they feel like they're swinging around, and sort of what you get from this is that they're moving in a kind of spiraling way. Once again, up higher, looking down in their body. And for this reason, children have a harder time falling asleep. Difficulty falling asleep is a very common complaint of third graders. Many parents solve this simply by reinstituting the family bed, which maybe you've spent the last 2.5 years trying to wean them from that, the parents, not the children. And now they have an excuse to go right back to it. That's not generally what you want. Rather, you want the parents to understand why the child is feeling that, what's going on there, why they are experiencing it. So what is going on here? What it is once again the interplay of the etheric and astral bodies. A little baby falls asleep in an instant, and when they are awake, their wakeful consciousness is much closer to being a sleeping consciousness. There's very little separation for a little one between being awake and being asleep. The older they get, the clearer the distinction and differentiation between the sleeping state and the waking state. But we can say that on the whole, the little child is like an open hand, which doesn't close. When they're awake, the hand is open. When they're asleep, the hand is open. But when the astral body comes and comes within the child, then it also has to leave the child. And in fact, for us as adults, as Steiner explains, being awake means that all four of our bodies are within us, more or less. As I've said, the percentages are different. When we sleep, only the physical and etheric body remain with us in the bed. The rest, the astral and the ego, ascend, go into the spiritual world where they are renewed and refreshed, and they return again in the morning. So adulthood has a clear, sharp differentiation between being asleep and being awake. The third grader is beginning to experience that. The astral body is within. The astral body leaves as I fall asleep. And for the first time, the child can feel a kind of friction. The astral body is rubbing against the etheric physical as it leaves. And with that, a part of the child, which has united with the astral body during the day, that part of the child remains with the astral and experiences leaving the physical etheric. This is a powerful, profound spiritual experience. In fact, you know, those on Steiner's meditative path cross their fingers and wish it could happen to them, that they could be conscious of that moment. Because Steiner says that moment of leaving one's physical, etheric body to fall asleep, and even more importantly, the moment of returning when the astral body with some of the ego returns to the physical, etheric, if we can be awake there, we are going to remember the experiences that we had that night in the spiritual world. We will really be further along on the path of initiation. The third grader is experiencing that. Only their life experience, their moral experience, their physical bodily experience does not equip them to understand this, and it's not that you want to explain it to them either. It is, on the whole, a disturbing experience. So how do we deal with this disturbing experience? What can we give the child to help that along? Well, of course, the Waldorf curriculum. But something, what can the parents do? And we'll see how the Waldorf curriculum for grade three is so deeply embedded with this experience, among many others. What can the parents do? Here I would say prayer is the answer. This is the age where if a child does not already pray before going to sleep, it is high time to begin it. Now you may say, but I have parents who are atheists, or I have parents who are Buddhists who, you know, don't pray in that respect. I'm not saying that they need to change their spiritual life, but I am saying that for the sake of their child, they need to help that child learn to pray. We'll talk about this more in the next segment. And we can see then why this year's reading material is of such a deeply religious nature.